You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Transition feed ahead to Allen. Allen trying to drive in on Green, draws the contact, floats it off the window with the foul. Oh, baby, what a shot. Grayson Allen silences the house. Those boo birds are not quite as vocal right now as they were a few moments ago.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Holiday's got it now for the Bucks on the other side with 10 to shoot. He'll give it to Middleton. Middleton sizes up a three, and he knocks it down from the left wing.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
A much-needed win for the Bucks, who seemingly returned to form and continue their domination over the Chicago Bulls. It is the third time in the 4 years under Coach Mike Budenholzer the Bucks go 4-0 against the Bulls. And as we ran through the standings, there's a pretty good chance this is what you're going to see in the first round. And I think at this point you're hopeful this is what you'll see in the first round of the playoffs in just over a week from now, as the postseason begins, not this weekend, but next, as tonight would be the beginning of the play-in tournament. If you're the Bucks and you finish second, that would be important, as you would be watching along Tuesday and Wednesday, depending on the day the Eastern Conference would play, to see who your opponent is going to be in the first round of the playoffs. But as of right now, the Bucks find themselves in a three-way tie. By way of tiebreaker, the Bucks are the three seed. That means you would get the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls do play tomorrow, by the way, so they have a back-to-back now. That's against the Boston Celtics, who have just been steamrolling everyone in the East and the West. You're inclined to believe the Bulls are going to lose that game, and especially given what we literally just saw come out of the locker room in Chicago and some talk about the final three games of the season. That coupled with the news, I think the news we all expected to hear, but the news nonetheless we got on Lonzo Ball before the game. We'll run through those particulars in just a moment. But the number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to join us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. I do have a question about this Bucks roster as we move towards the postseason as well, and who you have your eye on the most. Which player has the most to prove in the postseason for this Bucks team? We know who doesn't have anything to prove. The big three, at this point, it looks like this was a nice return to form game for Brook Lopez as well. But as we've constructed, what are the minutes going to look like? What are the rotations going to look like? Who's the odd man out? What does it mean for Javon Carter? What does it mean for Serge Ibaka, who, by the way, was the only player we did not see play a single minute tonight? So who's the player that has the most to prove in the postseason for the Bucks? We'll take your thoughts throughout the show. But I mentioned before the game, it was rather interesting because we heard from Billy Donovan about 15 minutes before Coach Mike Budenholzer spoke. And Billy Donovan was peppered with a lot of questions about Lonzo Ball, as the developments lately for Lonzo Ball have not been great. There have been some setbacks. We haven't seen him for quite a while. And it was the last time the Bulls were in Milwaukee, we started to get more and more questions about Lonzo and when would we expect him to return. As for Lonzo, Billy Donovan said, He kind of had a setback. He's having some discomfort. We're not really sure what the next step for him is. We'll let him calm down and cool off for about 10 days. We already did that once, and he had some more discomfort. So now we're just kind of in wait-and-see mode. About 10 minutes after he made those comments, we learned Lonzo Ball is shut down for the season. So this is a Bulls team that is very much limping to the finish here in the Eastern Conference. They are going to enter the playoffs without Lonzo Ball. They have had Zach LaVine in and out of the lineup recently. Alex Caruso, we mentioned this on the postgame as well, clearly at times looked hobbled and looked like he was having some issues with that back that he's been nursing recently. And the Bulls, 6-9 in March, they start April with a loss as well, have not looked very good here since the second half of the season. This is the team you want to play in the first round of the playoffs, the Bulls or the Cleveland Cavaliers. The only way you're going to get the Cavs now is if you finish second or first, and Cleveland is the 7 or 8 team, depending on what they do in the play-in tournament. But even those chances are appearing to be very slim. Cavs and the Bulls are two teams that are just headed in the wrong direction. You want one of those two teams in the first round of the playoffs. And as we mentioned, as of right now, the Bucks' first-round opponent in the playoffs would be these Chicago Bulls. That brings you to Thursday, when the Boston Celtics come to town. It is night two of a back-to-back for the Celtics. They've been destroying every team in their path, and this is going on 3 months now that we have witnessed this from the Boston Celtics. How do you approach that game on Thursday? Because that's part of a back-to-back for the Bucks as well. They leave Milwaukee after the Thursday game, go to Detroit on Friday for a back-to-back, and they wrap up the regular season Sunday in Cleveland against the Cavs, and we do know that will be a 2:30 tip now. But that game feels like it is going to be extremely important for the Cavaliers, very little to no importance for the Bucks. The game on Friday in Detroit, it's a Pistons team that right now is 23-56. Just two games in front of the Orlando Magic for the worst record in the Eastern Conference, but three games in the loss column. Now, I know draft pick, not decided by standings. We have a lottery in the NBA. But if you're the Pistons, you absolutely want to lose out to increase your chances of getting the number one overall pick. Now, if you lose out, that puts you at 59 losses. That means potentially the Magic would have more. The Rockets would definitely have more. That's probably it. The Pistons do not want to win that game on Friday, and yet you got to believe, based on how the Bucks treated last Friday, a night two of a back-to-back after returning home from Brooklyn, if you had some issues with the lineup that you saw on the floor last Friday, you're probably seeing that same lineup and probably even fewer players Friday in Detroit for night two of a back-to-back. Now, I do believe Sunday is going to be treated very similar to how the Bucks treated that game last year, coincidentally, against the Bulls, when the Bucks put it to a vote and said, well, we can play to win, and we have a chance to get that two seed. Or we can just tank this and try to avoid the Miami Heat. We saw how that went. We saw what it got them. And we saw what ended up happening for the Bucks. The last time, coincidentally, that the Bucks lost to the Bulls was the regular season finale last year, where they took that approach. They lost 118-112. It feels like that's the score every time these teams play, except for tonight. But that was a game where you did not see any of those guys. Jrue Holiday didn't play. Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, P.J. Tucker, Giannis, Dante DiVincenzo, and Bryn Forbes all sat out. Chris Middleton as well. Your starters in that game were Jeff Teague, Sam Merrill, Pat Connaughton, Thanasis, and Mamadi Diakite. Those were your starters the last time the Bucks lost to the Bulls. And that was the career game, 34 points from Jordan Wara. So I think that's what you're definitely going to see on Sunday, and in all likelihood on Friday as well. But it brings us to the question that we had and began with. What do you do on Thursday? I understand you want to get things in a rhythm and you want to clean some things up. And we heard some rather interesting comments from Bud before the game as well about the defense. But, you know, if history is any indication, we know how the Bucks are going to choose to treat this, but this feels different to me than last year. You clearly would like to be the three seed this year. And if you beat the Boston Celtics on Thursday, you are more than likely not going to finish third. If you beat the Celtics on Thursday, that would put the Bucks at 50-30. Celtics would be, let's assume they beat the Bulls tomorrow, Celtics would be 50-31. So you would be a half game in front of the Celtics for the two spot in the Eastern Conference. As we said, even if you sit everyone, you're probably beating the Pistons. And the real intrigue is going to be Sunday against the Cavs. Because I just have a hard time seeing this team essentially punt two games and give your starters off two straight games, knowing you got off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, potentially Saturday, going into the postseason. I think if history is any indication, we know this team is not going to say, well, maybe it's in our best interest to lose this game to the Celtics on Thursday, but I'm telling you, maybe it's in your best interest to lose this game to the Celtics on Thursday. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. What say you? How do you approach these final three games when it's pretty clear who you should want to play in the first round of the playoffs? And I think it's also clear how you get there. And also, the question we began the show with, which player has the most to prove on the Bucks going into the postseason this year? We will hear from you after this. Who has the most to prove? And how do you handle these final three games? We'll get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. Like, well, keep in mind, he could get there. 4 assists, 4 rebounds at the half, 12 points as well from Middleton there. And finish the game with 19 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. So 7 points and an assist in the second half from Chris. But it was important to see that type of play from Chris in this game as well, because, you know, offensively, this team has really been struggling. And we've touched on the defense and what Bud said about the defense before the game. I want to get to some of those comments as well, but defense has been the pain points. And that's been what everybody has pointed to of why isn't this team playing pretty well defensively? Like, what's going on with the Bucks? Middle of the road in the second half of the season, 25th rated defense. Yikes. And you go up until this past weekend, and it was 14th, which still, I mean, it's nothing to pound your chest at, but I'll take 14th over 25th. Then you had that abomination against the Clippers, and Luka Doncic happened on Sunday. So you still want to see this defense get a little better here and look like a top 10 defense. But lost in the shuffle of all of it was the offense wasn't great. The offense wasn't great. They weren't efficient against the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. Friday is a game, you know, there are no takeaways from Friday's game. When you look at the players that were on the floor and everything that was doled out for minutes, there's no takeaways. But against the Mavs, you know, Chris was 3 of 14. Brooke was 6 of 13. Wes was 0 of 4. Bobby Portis and Drew Holiday were basically it for players that played well. Giannis was 12 of 22. And, you know, one of the things I was talking about with Dave as well, it extends earlier in the week. The game against the Nets and against the 76ers, they had that really good first quarter against Philly, and then Philly seized control, and then it took the Bucks a little bit of time in the second half to get going against the Brooklyn Nets. Same thing could be said. Chris was 4 of 12 before that, questionable at best, flagrant 2, 4 of 12. Drew was 6 of 18. Brooke was 2 of 7. You had 25 points from your bench, and 11 came from Pat Connaughton, who was the only guy in the second unit that looked in it and good offensively. You just won that game because of what you did in those clutch minutes and what you did to close out the game in the fourth quarter. On Tuesday, as we said, you started off hot against the Sixers in that first quarter. You know, you won the quarter 27-24, but then Philly just bull rushed you in the second quarter. Third quarter is relatively even. It was the fourth quarter that decided the game. And even there, 8 of 17 for Chris, 7 of 16 from Drew, 6 of 14 from Brooke. Outside of Giannis, you didn't really get that consistent offense. So that was the encouraging thing about tonight. I don't care who was or was not on the floor for the Bulls. You just needed a game where your offense looked like guys were consistently hitting shots. You had all 5 starters in double figures. 7 players total reached double figures. Bobby Portis looked pretty good once again. Grayson Allen looks like he has really, really taken to this role as a guy coming off the bench, and your offense looked pretty good. So you want to see a night where you get both of them on one night, especially going into the postseason. And tonight, I think it was the closest you've gotten to that. Yeah, you can point to, well, there was no Levine. There was, you know, no Alonzo Ball. Alex Caruso didn't score and didn't look like himself. DeMar DeRozan scored 40 points and only got to the free throw line 8 times. Your defense, I thought, overall, did a pretty good job. And they came out attacking early in this game and stayed on the attack. So this was a big step. Thursday is the last test that you have before the playoffs begin. And I think it's pretty clear. You've got to approach it as such. But honestly, best case scenario is what? You win the game and you move closer to securing the 2 seed, or they look pretty good, but Boston just looks better and wins the game and keeps their role. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. And the question I began the show with, who has the most to prove for the Bucks in the postseason? Let's just go through and note who we know it is not that has the most to prove. It is not Chris Middleton. It is not Giannis. Now, you could say, I wouldn't classify him as having the most to prove, but you could say, well, look, I've already seen the narrative of, yeah, the Bucks are great and all, but do you expect Drew Holiday to keep shooting 42% on threes in the postseason and shooting at the high percentage from the floor that he is? Like, these numbers are bound to come down. I would counter with sure, but Drew's postseason numbers from last year are also bound to come up. So I think you do want to see a little more offensive consistency from Drew in the playoffs, but I would not classify him as having the most to prove. Grayson Allen is kind of an unknown of, you know, we've comped him to Bryn Forbes. We saw how Bryn Forbes was utilized a season ago in the playoffs. I do think Grayson is more playable against more teams than Bryn Forbes, but I think you know what Grayson Allen's role is going to be. I would take him out of the mix. Pat Connaughton has zero to prove. After the amount of big shots he hit a season ago and the way he played in the postseason last year, he's off the list. So we've crossed off Chris. We've crossed off Giannis. We've crossed off Drew. We've crossed off Pat. We have, I think, crossed off Grayson Allen, at least with pencil. There's a couple of big names out there, but I think there's one obvious name. And who has the most to prove for the Bucks in the playoffs this year? 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk. Let's head to Port Washington and check in with Ryan. You're up first on the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. I think the clear and obvious answer here is George Hill, a guy who's been on with our squad in other playoff runs and has, you know, kind of, you know, wavered a bit in the playoffs. You look at his numbers the past couple nights, he can put up 10, he can put up no points, he can put up 4 points. I mean, he's just a guy who, with our point guard depth being so low like it is, I think he is definitely the guy who really needs to show us that he can shine and, you know, get Holiday off the court and get some good minutes as we make a playoff run. As the last time he was with us in the playoffs, it just wasn't there. We've seen him do it with the Cavs. He's won a championship with them. And, you know, I just definitely think George Hill is the missing, you know, or is the guy who needs to prove the most as we kind of make this run.
Well, and here's the other thing. The last time you noted the last time he was here in the playoffs, the last time he was here in the playoffs, you also asked him to do more. That, you know, that was a backcourt where Eric Bledsoe was the starter and where Giannis had not refined his mid-range game to the level that he has. And, you know, you could scheme against that and you could build a wall and slow Giannis down. And then it put a lot of pressure on Chris Middleton with the lack of spacing and with teams basically playing off of Eric Bledsoe. In those minutes that George Hill was in the game, you needed George Hill to be one of your better secondary scorers, and it's never going to get anywhere near that level of ask for George Hill this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, with the evolved shooting of Giannis and with having all of our guys at full strength, you know, I think, you know, one of our advantages is we can spread the floor with any lineup we have, anyone can shoot the three ball. And I just think it's important if he can come in, you know, give us some solid minutes, you know, end of the first half or, you know, third quarter minutes just to get, you know, Holiday off the floor is so big, you know, if we can keep his three-point shooting up. What was it, last year he was like the best three-point shooter? Or no, 2 years ago he was the best three-point shooter in the league first half. So, you know, just some consistent minutes and just a guy who can come in and give us great minutes and, you know, make us go back-to-back, you know?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ryan. George Hill was number one on my list. There's one name that I had pretty close to it, but George Hill to me is the guy with the most to prove it. It's not to call him out and say, look, you got to play a lot better. You need to see George Hill as that two-way guy, the defense. And I think tonight that he took a big step there because overall, I think George Hill did a pretty good job in DeMar DeRozan tonight. Wesley Matthews, it wasn't a great matchup for him. DeMar DeRozan can do a lot of things off the dribble, and that seemed to give Wesley Matthews problems. And we've talked about throughout the season all the good that Wesley Matthews brings on the defensive end of the floor. Some of the guys that are quicker and, you know, can put the ball on the floor, can get into the paint, those are the ones that seem to give him problems. He's better as a physical defender. So, you know, you want a Jimmy Butler-type matchup. That's what you want for Wesley Matthews. A guy like DeMar DeRozan is not ideal. And George Hill, I think, stepped up and had a couple of key sequences against DeMar DeRozan tonight. So to me, that's the reason why he's the guy that you got to get more from that backup point guard spot, because let's think back to last year. Jeff Teague. End of sentence. Jeff Teague was it. That was the guy you had running the backup point guard. Elijah Bryant, I mean, that's a name that, by the way, became even more interesting with some news that came out last night. But Elijah Bryant was the other guy that got some minutes. But once Dante went down, the onus was on Jeff Teague, and he had to use him more than I think you hoped. Now, credit to Jeff Teague. He did come up with a couple of big moments late in that playoff run, but there wasn't a whole lot of depth. So you just need more than you got from Jeff Teague last year, and specifically on the defensive end. And I think / hope George Hill can give that to you in the postseason. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Who has the most to prove in the playoffs this year for the Bucks? Also, Brooke Lopez turning back the clock tonight. When's the last time offensively Brooke put up a game like this? We'll take a look at those numbers. And I mentioned the name of Elijah Bryant. Why it is apropos with some news that's come in the last 24 hours. We'll tell you about it after this as the Bucks sweep the Bulls with a 127-106 victory. We'll get to more of your thoughts after this.
Transition feed ahead to Allen. Allen trying to drive in on Green, draws the contact, floats it off the window with the foul. Oh, baby, what a shot. Grayson Allen silences the house. Those Boo Birds are not quite as vocal right now as they were a few moments ago.
Man, Grayson Allen seemed to be feeding off of that crowd at times tonight, especially early in the game. Still not quite sure the explanation that we got on the technical versus flagrant on Nikola Vucevic. But Grayson Allen scores in double figures off the bench. And again, he's not one that I think has a whole lot to prove in the playoffs for the Bucks. But who is the player with the most to prove? It's probably, in my mind, George Hill. Maybe there's another guy that stands out the most to you this upcoming postseason run. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. And I mentioned as well, you know, the Billy Donovan comments before the game about Lonzo Ball did not sound encouraging. And as soon as he wrapped up his discussion, basically as soon as we finished hearing from Bud, the news came out from Shams Charania of Lonzo Ball's going to be shut down for the season, which comes as no surprise when you listen to what Billy Donovan had to say before the game. But I also found this interesting. You want the Bulls in the first round. No way around it. Yes, you do. Stop shaking your head. Why? All right. Why do you not want the Bulls? You're just afraid of losing to the Chicago Bulls? What am I missing here?
I think it's a good matchup. I mean, for who? For the Bucks, I think. But I don't want to see DeRozan in the playoffs. And I know the Bucks are obviously they're better defensively than the Bulls. They're bigger than the Bulls. Giannis, although he struggled tonight, can dominate the Bulls, but they're athletic on the wing, and I don't, you know, foresee it being an issue. You beat them four times this year. Can you beat them four more times this year?
Absolutely. You could beat them 12 more times
this
year. Yeah,
probably.
You could beat them 82 times this year.
Do we know where, you know, is Levine?
Zach Levine is going to be available for the playoffs. So, yes, you played him tonight without Zach Levine, but that won't be the case in the playoffs.
There's no Ball, I'm assuming.
No.
I know he was shut down, the regular season. There's a chance, though, they could slip to the seventh. I know they own the
tiebreaker. That's
their spot. But because they own the tiebreaker, right, over Toronto?
Over Cleveland. So Cleveland tonight was eliminated from getting into the playoffs. So the league considers the playoffs 1-6.
Okay.
7-10 is play-in. So Cleveland was eliminated from the playoffs portion. We know 7-10 is going to be Cleveland, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Charlotte, the order yet to be determined. And we know the Bulls and Raptors are going to be 5-6 with the orders yet to be determined. But the order is determined. The Raptors are going to be 5. The Bulls are going to be 6.
It's a matchup where, yeah, you're right. The Bucks are probably going to win 90% of the time, 99% of the time, whatever the percentage you want to throw on there. But man, a series with Chicago with the Grayson Allen thing. Somebody's getting suspended. Somebody's getting hurt. I just want to avoid the drama in the first round. I know it's the better matchup probably over, you know, per se.
Well, let me counter with this. What about the drama of the Brooklyn Nets in the first round?
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, you're not wrong. But eventually you're going to have to beat them.
Well, no, I don't disagree with that. You know? It was the same conversation we had last year. Yeah. For everybody that was terrified of the Miami Heat, and for everybody that's terrified of the Brooklyn Nets, I'm not afraid of the Brooklyn Nets. The Bucks would beat the Brooklyn Nets in a playoff series. The point is, you don't want to start with that as your first-round matchup. And it very rarely works out the way exactly as you see it. Like, we thought the same thing last year. Man, look at this. 1-3, and if you finish in 2-3, that means in the second round, if you're the Bucks, you're playing the Nets. And then in the conference finals, you're playing the Sixers. And we all, or most people, thought the Brooklyn or the Miami Heat were the boogeyman, and they were terrified of that. You just don't want that extra strain and have to say, okay, if it's 2-3 again, and it's the Bucks and Celtics in that spot, and you got to go through Boston with Robert Williams. Still not convinced, but Robert Williams may be coming back for that series. And then you would have to go through Miami or Philly in the conference finals, and then you have Brooklyn to start things off. That is not ideal to go through that as a run. But, you know, like I said, it very seldom works out that way. I mean, we thought it was going to be Bucks and Sixers last year. It was Bucks and Hawks. It always seems to happen like that. That there is one of those surprises. And, you know, when you look through this year, who would be the team 1-4 least surprising to make it through to the conference finals or to the second round even? I mean, to me,
outside of the Bucks,
any of those teams, the Heat, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, if I told you one of those teams is going to lose in the first round, who would you be least surprised to see the team that does that?
Philadelphia.
Same. But yeah. Now, look, a lot of that depends on, I know I just said we shouldn't overvalue Brooklyn, but that is still not an ideal first-round matchup.
Oh, no, not at all. No.
And, I mean, you don't want to have to contend with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving for 7 games in the first round, but, yeah, I'm with you, where Philadelphia, to me, is the team that's least likely to make it through the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, right now the matchups would be Bucks and Bulls in the first round. I say thumbs up. You're a little nervous. Sixers and Raptors. Now, I would expect Philadelphia to win that series, but Toronto is another team. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, too, is if you're in this, you're either getting one of those play-in tournament teams, and if you're the 2 seed, you're getting 7. I am all but willing to put the mortgage at this point, and I don't have one, but I'll use somebody else's. on the Brooklyn Nets winning the play-in tournament and finishing seventh. They've already started to position themselves. Remember when the day started, they were 10th, tied with the Hornets. Hornets have the tiebreaker over them, so that's the one team, if you're the Nets, you don't want to finish tied with. And it still could happen. The Hornets are 40-39. They got to go 3-0, and the Cavs would have to go 0-2 for that to potentially happen. But they started the day 10. They are now 8 at 41-38. So one game back in the loss column of the Cavs. Cavs' remaining schedule, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets and the Bucks. That's it. That's all they have left. The Brooklyn Nets schedule, much more easy. They're going to beat the Cavaliers when those two teams play. I think that is a foregone conclusion for me. They are definitely going to beat the Cavaliers. Those two teams play on, I believe that's Friday. So, yeah, so Cleveland doesn't play again until Friday. They have off Wednesday, Thursday, they play Friday. The Nets have the Knicks, then the Cavs, and then they close out the season with the Pacers. The Pacers were a little spirited tonight after falling behind by 23. All of a sudden you look up and think, holy cow, it's a two-possession game against the 76ers. They will not have that amount of fight in the regular season finale. This was their home finale. The game against the Nets is on the road. It is those 40 minutes standing between you as a professional player and an offseason that may or may not include trips to Cancun. There will be no fight in the Indiana Pacers on the 10th. The Brooklyn Nets are winning that game. The Brooklyn Nets are going to win the game on Friday against the Cavs. Right there, you're 43-38 with one game left. That would bring you, even with the Cavaliers, and the tiebreaker at this point, they would both won two of their four games against each other. The tiebreaker would come down to your winning percentage in conference games, and I believe all Brooklyn has to do is win that game against Cleveland to force that as the tiebreaker, and they secure the tiebreaker because that win would be their 29th win in conference. Right now the Cavs have 26, so it's over. So Brooklyn would finish ahead of Cleveland. They're finishing in the 7-8 line. Like, we all had the pipe dream last week and thought, man, look at this. Isn't this great? The Bucks' chances of winning the East probably went out the window. Regular season, winning the East probably went out the window. But you know what? Now Miami's going to have to deal with Brooklyn because they're down in that 9-10 spot. And if you finish there, highest you can get is 8. This is great. And then today happened where the Hawks lose. The Cavs lose to the Magic. The Nets win. The Hornets lose. Brooklyn Nets are going to finish 7th. They're going to finish in that 7-8 line, and they're going to win the play-in tournament. So whoever finishes second, good news is you get home court in the second-round series against likely, talking about the Bucks here, likely the Boston Celtics. Bad news is you created more work for yourself, and you got to go through the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Let's head back out to the phone lines. Talk with Mike in Shorewood. You're up next.
Hey, what's going on, man? Talking about actually tonight's game before talking about the seedings. Good win tonight. I love the matchup with the Bulls. Sweep them again. Brook Lopez showing off his offensive force there. Great, even with DeRozan having another fantastic night. The Bulls are really sputtered down the stretch here. And from the Bucks, I want to stay right where I am. I'm assuming they're going to win out. I think after that debacle at home, getting their brains kicked in by Dallas, I don't think they're going to take the foot off the gas here in the final two games. You got a couple winnable games here, and I think they want to finish that three seed. Hopefully they match up with the Bulls. Not that they're scared to face, even if Brooklyn got to that position in the first round, but I want the path to least resistance. And I think against this young Bulls team, they've had a great season, better than anybody expected, but I think the Bucks would probably sweep them. Probably gentlemen sweep at best. Maybe DeRozan goes off for 50 and they get one at home. But I just think this matchup is the best here before you really warm up, get to that second round, and start taking on the big boys. So I just think overall this Chicago team would ideally, I'm assuming they don't drop one of these couple games here in Philly. leapfrogs them. But you were talking about the play-in there. It's going to be really fascinating. Brooklyn is just so herky-jerky. You don't know. Obviously, Durant and Kyrie are as talented as any players in the league, but that team just around them, consistencies, inconsistencies, injuries, now the Ben Simmons nonsense, it's just one thing after another. I could see them getting knocked out maybe down to 7 or 8 seed because Charlotte and Atlanta in a one-game scenario, I could see the Nets losing. We've seen all season long. Maybe Trae Young goes hot. That Charlotte team is a young, pesky team with a lot of great talent. So this is great of a race here down the stretch I'm going to as see. It looks like Miami pretty much locked up that one seed after their struggles there. So it's going to be real fascinating. But if you're looking at it from the Bucks angle, and to me they're still top to bottom, the best team in the East, I want them to stay right there they am. And Chicago stays I'm assuming Chicago's going to finish out, barring, you know, they have a trip up. I just think that's the best path for the Bucks before they get back to the final. So it's going to be really fascinating here in the final couple stretch here, and hopefully the Bucks are still the defending champs here. Thanks for the time, man.
You bet. I think it sounded like he thinks the Bucks are going to win out. If you win out, you're finishing second. So you win out, you're 52-30. And you would presumably Boston can't win out if that's the case. So you would finish at least a game in front of Boston. It would come down to Philadelphia, but you would also have a better conference record than the Celtics, or at least tied with them. You would have a better conference record than the 76ers. So you would be the two seed. Now, I'm with you, and that's kind of the point we made of Brooklyn is it's basically, you know, what we've said about Javon Carter and what makes him so fascinating and frustrating to play against. He's the guy that's picking up the full length of the court, and you look across and you think, are we really doing this? Like, this is a rec league game, and you're really picking me up the length of the court and slapping the floor and wearing your Duke shorts? Like, it's a Sunday afternoon, and we're doing this? That's what NBA players think of, like, come on, man. It's the 77th game of the season. Like, you're already winning by 10. Why are we doing this? That's what playing the Nets in the first round would be. Of like, yes, you're going to win. And, you know, Kyle Lowry is going to win an individual matchup against Javon Carter, but it's just like, come on. You really going to make me use this much energy? That's going against the Nets. You're going to win the series, but it's, come on, this is really going six games in a first round series, and these are contested games. That's the frustration there. I agree with you, though, that it changes things as long as, in that 7-8 matchup, as long as it's not Cleveland. I don't think Charlotte can get up to that 7-8 line anymore, or at least it could not be Charlotte instead of Cleveland. Because I believe the Cavs have that tiebreaker over the Hornets. But we'll have to look into that during the break. But I agree with that sense of like, well, if it's Atlanta, I still expect the Nets to win one of two games. But if you got to play the Hawks first, Trae Young's not the guy I want to play in a one-game elimination matchup. So that could make things interesting. And then it's the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, think about that. What if the Bucks finish second, the Atlanta Hawks win the seventh seed, and the Eastern Conference Finals is the first-round series? Eastern Conference Finals matchup from a year ago, that is the first-round series the following year. You could have that. It's likely Brooklyn, though. So let's just forecast this. I think the Bucks are going to win on Thursday. You agree? I see. Nodding the head. Okay. I think they're going to win Friday, too. But I think it's going to be, and you look at the schedule and think, well, yes, it's the Pistons. Of course they're going to win. But like what they had on Friday last week against the Clippers, could you name what the starting five was in that game? Exactly. It was Javon Carter, Pat Connaughton, Jordan Wara, Bobby Portis, and Serge Ibaka. Those were your starters against the Clippers on night two of a back-to-back. George Hill also played off the bench. Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews did not play. Giannis, Chris, Drew, and Brooke did not play either. So those are your six players that did not play. I think in that game, this upcoming Friday, you're not going to see Giannis. You're not going to see Chris. You're not going to see Drew. You're not going to see Brooke. You're probably not going to see Bobby Portis. I wonder if you see George Hill. Now, it seems as though there's an addition to the roster, which has not been made official yet, but assuming that happens, that means there's one other player. You could say, okay, he's not playing either. And we've got eight players that are active and playing in this game. But I think that's what you're going to see. It's going to be like we just ran through that starting lineup, what the starting lineup was last year, the last time the Bucks lost to the Bulls, which was the regular season finale. That's what you're going to see against the Pistons. Pistons are still playing pretty well, all things considered, in the second half of the season. I know the record does not indicate that. They're 23-56. So you hear me say, well, the Pistons are playing pretty well in the second half. And you think, what is he talking about? They've won three in a row, by the way. A three-game win streak. They have the Mavs on Wednesday, then the Bucks and the Sixers. I mean, that is as brutal as it gets to close out the regular season. But overall, this is a team that's been a lot better. They've had a couple of three-game win streaks in the second half of the season. They've had a couple of win streaks, period. They entered the All-Star break at 13-45. So this Pistons team has gone 10-11. They've been a 500 team. It's not going to be a pushover, and especially with who you play, but I still think the Bucks are going to win that game. To me, it's the game Sunday against the Cavs. That is probably the, all right, we're going to maybe play guys for a quarter, and then it's maybe a half, and then it's on to a week off for the All-Star break. You're not going to punt both of those games with a week off looming. But let's forecast this. I think with the Bucks winning two of the final three, and one of those would be against the Celtics, I think the Bucks are going to finish second. I think the Celtics are going to finish third, and I think the Sixers are going to finish fourth, and I think that is perfectly fine with Philadelphia. I think that is their preferred choice of where they would like to be. I think 7-8 is going to remain as it is now with the Cavs and Nets. And then Hawks and Hornets. I think 7 is going to be Brooklyn. 8 is going to be Atlanta. So your first-round matchups would be Miami-Atlanta, the Bucks and the Nets, the Celtics and the Bulls, and the 76ers and the Raptors. Not necessarily ideal, but this is the exact same thing the Bucks went through last year. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. I want to spend some time looking ahead to that Celtics matchup and what we've seen from this Boston team here really since January. But also, Brooke Lopez with a big offensive game tonight. Got to look back at the last time Brooke Lopez did what he did offensively tonight. And I wouldn't necessarily lump this in with who has the most to prove in the postseason, but when you watch this new starting lineup, to me, there is one question and one thing that remains unanswered that I'm really going to have my eye on, especially Thursday against the Boston Celtics. I'll tell you what it is next on Bucks Talk.
As it'll be Drew Holiday now going to the right side. He feeds to Allen. Allen gives to Giannis. Giannis back out to Grayson. They rifle it around on the edge. Middleton sees the opening and goes inside and sends it down with an authoritative one-hand slam.
Chris Middleton with a dunk. I mean, that's how you know it's over. But the last time, Brooke Lopez, by the way, finished this game with 28 points. Now, I'm still, to be honest, not entirely sure why it wasn't 29 points. That the final points that he scored were at the free throw line. But that was initially called the offensive foul against him and then changed to a defensive foul. I'm not sure why that wasn't an and one and why it wasn't continuation, but regardless, 28 points from Brook Lopez. His season high a year ago, I believe, was 26 in the regular season. Otherwise, it was 2 years ago that it was 26. So the last time Brook Lopez scored this many points in a game, regular season game, you would have to go all the way back to Disney World, fittingly enough, in the bubble. The game against the Dallas Mavericks and part of the restart, I think this was their second game, where Brook Lopez scored 34 points in 34 minutes against the Mavs in an eventual loss in the bubble for the Bucks. That was the last regular season game where he scored this many points. The last game, period, where Brook Lopez scored as many points as he did tonight was maybe the biggest performance Brook Lopez has had in a Bucks uniform. The first game that we thought for the Bucks in life after Giannis in the playoffs, game five against the Atlanta Hawks at Fiserv Forum. Brooks scored 33 points in 37 minutes. And the Bucks beat the Hawks to take the 3-2 series lead in the conference finals. And, of course, as we know, eventually closed out the series in Atlanta. So, I mean, these were some big games. Big performances here that we've seen from Brook Lopez, and this was much needed to really get back into that mix offensively. So I wouldn't classify Brook as a player with a lot to prove for this team. You certainly would not classify the big three in that either, as they have now gone 35-10, I believe. 35-10 with the big three on the floor. Now, one thing worth pointing out, and again, I've done a bad job of getting to this, but I do want to get to the comments by Billy Donovan about the Bulls, especially if this is potentially the Bucks' first-round matchup. And one of those additions, and why we mentioned the name of Elijah Bryant, we think an addition. We're still waiting for it to be official. I want to get to that in a moment. But watching this game and the last handful of games, dating back to that Sixers game last week when Wesley Matthews was inserted in the starting lineup, I guess overall, are you in favor of this lineup change with Wes in the starting five? Because to me, when it happened, I got the logic. And it made sense against James Harden. But then you also take into account, Mike Budenholzer has basically said, I don't like to deviate. When I find something that works, I stick with it. So you knew, I don't think this is a one-off. This is going to be your starting lineup going forward. And that's what we've seen. And Bud, even today, before the game, spoke of Wesley Matthews as a starter. So you know this is their starting five going forward. I mean, think about that, too. Wesley Matthews was not only not on the Bucks, was not in the league month and a half into the season. Non-guaranteed deal. They finally guaranteed it for the remainder of the season, and now he's your starting two guard going into the postseason. But there is one thing that has really jumped out to me about this starting lineup that the Bucks have gone with now, with Brook, Giannis, Chris, Wes, and Drew Holiday. Did they make a mistake? Do you like this starting five for the team as we head into the postseason? 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us. I saw you shaking your head too, Brandon, when I said, do you like this starting lineup? Aggressively shaking your head that you are not a fan of Wesley Matthews in the starting lineup.
No, I probably misheard you. I do like Wes in the starting lineup. I also like Grayson coming off the bench. It adds a little bit more scoring. Wes has been, he was in a bad slump for a while shooting. He seemed to kind of snap out of it as of late, and I like his defense. I do not like, however, George Hill minutes over Javon Carter. I just don't. I don't. And I like George Hill. I do. I like him. Coach Bud talked about it. I believe it was either pre or post game. The veteran presence, the IQ, he's a calm leader on the court. I get all that, but I want Javon Carter because of the reasons that you, Justin, were pointing out earlier. He gets in your head. He makes you work for what what it is you're going to get. And he is a more efficient scorer. I mean, in this point in George Hill's career, he just is. His defense is a little bit better. He brings a little bit more scoring. He definitely has the energy. But I just don't understand the do not play. I don't understand the DMPs for Jawan Carter.
He's more efficient right now.
Right, and totally. Yes.
I mean, it has taken a lot of us by surprise how well he has shot the ball since coming here. But it's like this because this is where you start to pare down the rotations. And it's kind of like what we said about the backcourt last year where Elijah Bryant played the final minute of a quarter for defense, and like that's how you utilize him. Not trying to lay out a case of, man, the Bucks really blew it with Elijah Bryant and they should have used him more, but that's why it went that way. I mean, I think for Jawan Carter, his role in the postseason, and you know, Bud, before the game against, I think it was the Nets, talked with Jawan Carter too about, you know, you could see him on the sidelines sitting down and talking to him, which I would presume was this is not an easy conversation to have. You've been terrific, but this is how we're going to use you. You got to stay ready. And Bud has made this comment several times. It's a good problem to have, I'm told. I suppose, you know, right now what they have, I would much rather have this than last year when you looked around the roster and you were like, I feel really good about the starters, but I hope P.J. Tucker doesn't get in foul trouble. You know, I hope Drew or one of those guys doesn't get in foul trouble. I hope somebody doesn't get hurt. And then as soon as Dante got hurt, you looked around and you thought, ooh, this is going to be tough to keep Brent Forbes on the floor against the Nets. And you realize, all right, we're going to have to play the starters about 40 minutes a game. And obviously the Brook Lopez in situation with playing smaller and that many shared some minutes with Pat Connaughton. That changed things there. But you knew when you looked at how this roster was constructed, Giannis, Drew, and Chris, you have to play 40 to 42 minutes. Now, that's what you want, again, this year of we feel like we did a pretty good job resting you guys. We're going to need 40 minutes from our best players, but you have more options. George Hill doesn't have it. You could break glass in case of emergency and go to Jawan Carter. If Brook Lopez gets in foul trouble, you do have Serge Ibaka, who did not play tonight and who has played less and less since Brook Lopez returned. Jawan Carter also said as soon as he arrived here, Coach Budenholzer immediately sat down with him and told him, this is your role, this is what we want from you, this is what we expect you to do. And he said, look, I never got that in Brooklyn. I don't know if he couched it by, you know, no offense to Steve Nash, he did a great job, but I never got that in Brooklyn. And then seen Bud talk with Jawan Carter before the game against the Nets extensively. You got the sense it was more of, yeah, look, I know it's a bummer. I know it sucks. We've only got so many minutes we can play. We want to play around nine guys in the postseason. Right now you're number 10 or 11. So you just got to kind of stay ready and, you know, hey, I can dangle this carrot in front of you. Last year, a lot of times we'd bring in Thanasis in the final minute of a quarter. So that could be your role. You're just the guy that defends for the last possession of a quarter. But that's kind of where he's at. He being George Hill and George Hill. He being Jawan Carter and what he's done for this team this season. You know, the other thing is, the George Hill thing is fascinating to me because if we look at George Hill this season, you know, early on, what did you hear the most of? Man, look at his plus minus. Among the league leaders, among the best in the league. It's still the second best on the team behind Giannis and Drew Holiday. We're tied with Giannis behind Drew Holiday. But it's come down a little bit. However, I was really impressed, and I thought he did a really good job tonight. I would still much rather have George Hill than Jeff Teague or Elijah Bryant. No offense to either of those two. But it's going to be curious to see what happens if George Hill does go into a slump. And if George Hill has maybe two bad games. And if George Hill runs into a bad matchup. That is going to be curious because you do have, a plan B. And you frankly did not have that last year. But back to this starters conversation. The one thing that stands out to me about this new starting lineup is we've still yet to see, and you just need more reps, but we've yet to see with this group dominance defensively. But overall, by the numbers, this starting five, Brooke, Giannis, Chris, Wes, and Drew, it hasn't been great. A net rating of negative 14.5 in those minutes that they've been on the floor together, and offense has been the issue. 105.2 offensive rating. This is a team that throughout the majority of the season has been around 120 offensive rating. 105.2. Defense, not really good either. Now, again, it's a very, very small sample size. Prior to tonight's game, it was 77 possessions total that they have played on the floor. We usually see an early sub. We saw it again tonight. Giannis comes out. So it's not a great sample size, and you typically don't see that group a lot of times closing. But the offense is what jumps off the page to me in that this is nowhere near what we've come to expect. And to me, that's the biggest question, is depending on the matchup you run into, when this offense was humming, Giannis and Bobby and Grayson and West, or not West, and Drew and Chris, that was your starting five. Because that is a lot of spacing, a lot of shooting, and Giannis. Really, really tough to defend. Wesley Matthews changes things defensively and can do a little more than Grayson Allen, sure. Wesley Matthews right now, night and day difference when you talk about the offense and the shooting, Grayson Allen versus Wesley Matthews. Brooke Lopez, for the bounce back game that he had, Bobby Portis has been a 50% shooter basically. That is a big difference. And when you look at that starting five, to me, that's the question is, do you run into a matchup where teams are just going to take advantage? I mean, the Thursday to me is where I am paying most attention to those minutes the starting five play together and how that looks offensively against a really good Boston Celtics defense and against the Celtics team that I am convinced you are going to play in the second round of the playoffs. I am going to pay a lot of attention to how that starting five looks offensively, because that's, I think, the knock you would point out and say, you know, since they made this change, I get the logic. I think it's going to look a lot better in the postseason. But you've kind of sacrificed some of that offense, and you've made it, I'm not going to say easy, but easier for teams to defend Giannis and flash doubles on him when you're helping off a Wesley Matthews, or you're telling Brooke Lopez, you beat me, opposed to leaving Bobby Portis open in the corner, or leaving Grayson Allen open out there on the wing. It's a lot different. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, because again, very small sample size, but by the numbers, this offensive grouping here of this starting five has not been great so far this season. We'll wrap up the show by taking a look at Thursday's big matchup, and also, you know, let's just do this now before we go to break. Here's another reason why you want to play the Bulls in the first round of the playoffs. As soon as the game ended, Billy Donovan in his postgame, this is from our pal KC Johnson. Billy Donovan said, if a player feels he needs some time off during the final three games, that would take priority. So I'm assuming he's talking about Grayson Allen. However, it's his belief, and he thinks Arturas Karnisovas would feel the same way, that playing and staying in rhythm is important as well. I mean, if you're already starting to hear, you know, we got three games left, and we're kind of resigned to the fact that we're going to finish sixth. So we got three games left. Let's just rest and work on that. If that's already the mindset, it is over. This is the team that you want to match up with in the first round. If you need 3 days off, and if you need rest, like we just said for the Bucks, I don't think you're going to see a ton of rest in both of these games this weekend, because that's basically saying 10 days off going into the playoffs. And especially if that first round matchup is going to be against a team like the Nets, you do not have any margin for error to come out of the gate slow and look really sluggish. So Thursday, I think, is going to tell us a lot about the Bucks heading into the postseason. We'll wrap up the show and take a look at the Boston Celtics. We just had a pair of big games last week. This one, even bigger. We'll preview the matchup next.
So the Bucks will go the other direction with it, leading 31-22. Largest lead just a moment ago for the Bucks. Holiday feeds Giannis on the left wing. Giannis has not attempted a shot. Here's a three-pointer, and his first shot of the night is a high arcing three that rips the cords from the left wing.
Well, it took about 15 minutes for Giannis to get on the board. That was his first field goal attempt and basket. And here's the other thing. Before we get to John and preview this matchup with the Boston Celtics, I talked about this on a different show that I was on and was accused of being too hyperbolic by my pal Kane Pittman, but the game against the Mavs, I think, basically determined Giannis is not going to win the MVP. And especially tonight, Joel Embiid scored 45. I still think it's going to be Nikola Jokic over him, but Embiid scored 45 tonight. I mean, he is clearly hunting for that award. And we even saw the comments of, I don't know, I don't understand what I have to do to win this award. I think people just don't like me. He's already resorting to that. And look, if you did not believe Giannis when he said, I don't even know who's in the running for MVP and it doesn't matter to me, but today basically solidifies, yeah, I believe him. He did not attempt a field goal until 15 minutes into the game and scored 18 points on a night where he could have just dominated the Bulls. But outside of Giannis scoring 60 against the Celtics and the Bucks somehow winning the Eastern Conference in the regular season, I think this past weekend solidified it's going to be Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid, but it's not going to be Giannis for the MVP award. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with John in Waukesha. You're up next on Bucks Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, I'd appreciate the comment you said. Embiid's looking for MVPs. Giannis is looking for championships. And not that Embiid's not looking for championships, but you know what I'm saying. Like, Giannis doesn't, he's already won MVP.
He was on the floor.
He doesn't care.
He was on the floor in the final seconds of a game tonight where I know it was down to six at one point, but the game was over, and he was still on the floor closing things out to get close to 50 points. I mean, I think that was clear. Let's see if I can get to 50 and solidify MVP.
Exactly. And, you know, good for him. You know, that's an accomplishment you can get. But we've been there. We've done that. We need championships. We don't care about MVPs. Anyway, I digress. I wanted to ask you, this game against the Celtics, it's pretty much going to come down to whoever wins will have a way better chance to play the Nets in the opening round. Do you think the Bucks? I don't want to say tank it, but as far as the coaching is or coaching and gameplay is concerned, do they limit their top players to not necessarily try to win, or do we just go all out because it's a big time game against the Celtics and let's get geared up for the playoffs and who cares who we play?
I think it's going to be the latter. I think this game, whoever wins, it basically locks you in to the two seed. And I mean, on a number of fronts, it's interesting because if you win the game, you're probably finishing second. Nobody's going to catch Miami. They're two games up in the loss column. They have two games left. The other three teams have three. But also, I mean, the other part of it is the Bucks and Celtics are going to finish 2 and 3. And maybe it's Boston, Milwaukee. Maybe it's the Bucks and the Celtics in that order. But this game, it's so weird on a number of levels in that, number one, it's probably going to determine who's the two seed, and you also leave the game knowing that's the team you're probably facing in the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, it's not so much like the NFL where, like, well, you don't want to show too much. There are some things you can hold back, but that's what makes it all the more interesting is how you play against this team knowing you're probably going to see them in 3 weeks.
unless you play the Nets and lose to the Nets.
Well, unless you do that, but I...
Which is a tough task. I mean,
so
I'm not...
Are you afraid of the Nets?
No, but...
You just don't want
I'm
to play.
Afraid of, I'm a lot more afraid of the Nets more than I am...
Any other of those teams.
Anyone else right. besides the Celtics?
Right. I still... The Bucks are going to beat the Nets in a series, but it's not the ideal first-round opponent. As I think we're all kind of aligned on. If, like, I expect the Bucks to win that series, but knowing... Again, it doesn't always work out as you plan, but knowing it's a very real possibility... Boston and then Miami, those are your next two matchups. You don't want it to be Brooklyn, Boston, Miami. You would much rather Chicago or Cleveland if you can get that. It really, anyone in those bottom four teams outside of the Nets. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I can agree with you on that.
All right, John, thanks for the call. And we will, you got one other thing?
No, I just said appreciate it. Take care. And thanks for taking my call.
No problem. We'll see how it goes on Thursday with the Bucks and the Heat. 6:30 tip-off, so make note of that tip time. 6 o'clock is when we'll get started here on these airwaves with the pregame show. And, of course, Bucks talk. This is going to be like the last... Boy, I don't want to take away from the Friday edition of Bucks talk here, but I would say get used to some of these names like Jordan Wara. Sandro Mamukelashvili, get used to that name. Potentially get used to the name Luka Vildoza, who we are still waiting on the official announcement, but the Bucks expected to sign Luka Vildoza, who was 2 years ago the Spanish League MVP. Now they allegedly signed him, and I've already seen people getting hyped over the highlight reel. You're one of them, Brandon. Like, man, look what he can do. Two-man game and the pick and roll. He's got decent
Boxing
size.
Six.
I mean, can you name a time you've watched a highlight reel that included the plays where you performed poorly? Like, that's the only thing that I would caution with. But I did mention Elijah Bryant, so I guess no better way to close out the show than with this. So we think the Bucks have agreed to terms with Luka Vildoza because he was not on an NBA roster March 1. He is eligible for the postseason. That's the way it works. You just can't be elsewhere on March 1st and then join a team and play in the playoffs. So he would be playoff eligible if the Bucks finalize this deal and bring him in. Now, last year, I mentioned Elijah Bryant. Bucks signed Elijah Bryant on May 13th, very, very late in the season. The regular season wrapped up May 16th. So at the point they signed Elijah Bryant, they had 3 games left in the regular season. At the point the Bucks are signing Luka Vildoza, and we think he'll be joining the team and eligible to play, they will have 3 games left in the regular season. So we mentioned Javon Carter might get the Elijah Bryant treatment in the postseason. Luka Vildoza is technically taking the Elijah Bryant spot for this team as they move into the postseason. My thanks to everybody for hanging out for the last hour plus. A huge one on Thursday. And maybe another supersized edition of the show Thursday as the Bucks take on the Celtics in the last big regular season matchup this season. And I think we'll have a pretty clear picture over a lot of the Eastern Conference once that game wraps up, maybe even a little more separation in those top 4 spots. And, oh, by the way, we mentioned the Spurs won tonight in Denver. The Phoenix Suns are currently up 21 on the Lakers with 7 minutes left, meaning the Lakers would be eliminated from the postseason, and meaning I have a feeling you're not going to see LeBron James for the rest of the regular season either. So he would not qualify for the NBA scoring title if that was the case. Now, the 45-point performance tonight from Joel Embiid essentially cinches things for him. If LeBron doesn't qualify, Kevin Durant is next in line. He has not qualified either. Joel Embiid currently at 30.4 points per game, and Giannis dropped to 29.9. So the door's still open a crack, but it seems as though there's a pretty good chance Joel Embiid is going to be your scoring champion. My thanks to everybody for hanging out. My thanks to Brandon and Chris for producing the show. We will talk to you once again Thursday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.